Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Crit Show. This is an actual play podcast where we play Monster of the Week, but today we're actually here with a different purpose. I am Rev, I am the GM and host of The Crit Show, and around the table we have...
Tass.
Teej.
I'm Jake.
But we are not here today to play Monster of the Week. We are here today to play Aegon, the newest game by Evil Hat Productions. We are joined today by Director of Projects, Sean Nittner, who is also the co-author of Aegon. Thanks for joining us, Sean.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to play with you guys. I've listened to your Let's Play of Band of Blades and some of your Monster of the Week games, and I was like, this is good stuff. I want in on this.
Oh, man. Thank you.
We had so much fun with Band of Blades. That would make such a great show. Like, if you and the audience all knew, okay, this is going to come to an end at some point, and it may be a harsh end. Such a gripping game.
We played a whole campaign of it, and it was right... We did well, but right up to the end, we were like, there was one roll... Just at the very end, we're like, if we roll poorly, we won't even make it to Skydiver Keep. We won't even get to the final mission. And it was like, gotta make this roll. And I'm glad we did. It was a blast. I love that game.
So can you tell us a little bit about Aegon?
Yeah, absolutely. So Aegon was originally released in 2006 by John Harper. It was his sort of take on how to make a game that is a game where the GM and the players compete in earnest rather than a game where the GM is supposed to challenge the players, but that they have infinite resources. So any GM could always just be like, rocks fall and you all die. Like, where is the challenge in that? So what if you actually make a game where the two sides are legitimately competing, and therefore you give the strife player, which was then was called the antagonist, you give them a budget that they can work with to sort of challenge them. And I loved Aegon. I played tons of it. Games where one of us were playing a game of Aegon while we had a camera on the table and a Skype call to a bunch of other people playing a game where they were the gods, and the gods could like watch the heroes, and they could like say things to the heroes, and then I would type it in chat, and then the other GM would let them know things happened. Ridiculous hijinks of games, but suffice to say, I love the game. So now... 10 years later, a little more than 10 years later, we've had a lot of chance to reflect on it, clean up some of the parts of it that were kind of slow and plotting, and also change the nature of it. It's no longer about us, about me as the strife player versus you. It's more about me presenting you with great challenges to show how awesome you are. I'm not trying to defeat you or trying to force you into agony. I'm trying to give you these sort of opportunities for greatness. And similarly, the game used to be very competitive amongst the heroes. They were all just, there was one currency, and it was all just about like who was best at the end. And now we've really differentiated that quite a bit, so that the heroes have lots of different things to strive for. They can be the one that supported each other the best. They can be the one that was truest of heart. They can be the one that had the greatest acumen. It's not all just about like who are... Glory is still a currency, not a currency, but it's still a reward in the game, but it's not the end-all be-all of the game. So we've really kind of tried to open it up to a few more play styles, and are really like, you have greatness by making others around you great as well, which we're very excited about.
Awesome. Well, I think we are ready to dive in.
Wonderful.
You want to walk us through these first steps?
Yeah. Let me give you, I've been talking about the game as a project, as a thing to play, but let me give you the, if I was pitching this to a group, the short pitch on Aegon. This is a game of fast-paced heroic action inspired by ancient legends. You as hero players will create heroes who wander from island to island, engaged in contests, resolving strife, appeasing the gods, and seeking your way home. Me as a strife player will present the island, its strife and opponents and other characters, by revealing the situations to you, asking you leading questions, and judging the outcomes of contests. And together, we will find out the fate of the island that you arrive on. So let's make some heroes. Let's do this. Let's go through the origin chapter. You all have hero sheets, and you all have the little handout with the hero creation stuff. So I'll just walk you through it. The first step is to choose your hero's epithet. That is the way which your character is known, like I am bloody minded or I am lion hearted, for instance. Your epithet is something that you'll roll in any contest where it applies. You know, whatever you pick, think of the types of contests in which it might apply. So you'll pick that. And then on your hero sheet, you'll also write down that the die size is a D6.
I think I want to be strong limbed.
Solid choice.
Nice. I will go with eagle eyed.
Cool.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm looking at pure hearted.
Oh, someone's got to be pure hearted.
Yeah.
Someone's got to speak the truth, speak from the heart. How about you, Rep?
I'm going to go with swift footed.
Excellent. So everyone will write down those epithets, write down a D6 next to them. The next choice is a very important one, and you're going to choose your name. Unlike epithet, your name will be rolled in every contest because you'll always say, I... swift-footed or strong-limbed or whatever your names are, will rise to this challenge. And your name die gets rolled every single challenge. And at the end, your name is what you retain after your hero story is over. There's a list on the third column of possible names, but you can riff off of those or make up new ones as you like. What do you guys think of our names?
I think I'm going to go with Eagle-Eyed Arcadius.
Very cool.
Because I'm a child of the 80s and I like the arcade.
Nice. I was going to say, it sounds nice. Very Greek to, you know, very Greek mythology to me.
Yeah.
This all sounds Greek to me. Have you heard that joke a lot while running this game?
I just said it. And as soon as I said it, I regretted it.
Let it go.
I know. Any door you open.
Apparently, we're going to go through it. Okay. How about you, Rev?
I'm going to go with the list. I'm going to make just a slight alteration. I'm going to go with Dreos.
Cool.
I like Mykonos.
Ooh, pure-hearted Mykonos. Yeah. I'm about it.
I will be Hathor.
Cool. Strong-limbed Hathor. Awesome. So by your name, you'll also write a D6. All the heroes start at a D6 name die. As you gain glory from facing trials on the island, your name die will advance. And the length in which your hero's story is told is based on the final size of your name die. Will your story be told amongst your friends and family? Will it be told for generations? Will it be told after the end of this civilization? Or will it be told after the sun goes cold? We'll know that based on how far your name advances.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's the thing. You're like, I want that. I want to be remembered forever. Cool. The next thing that you're going to do is choose your lineage. So this is a notable parent or place that you're a child of. And along with that lineage, you're also going to pick one of the four domains. The domains are arts and oration, blood and valor, craft and reason, and resolve and spirit. They more or less do what they sound like, but in play, we can describe that a little bit more. And if you have any questions, you know, feel free to ask. But your lineage will give you strength in one of those four domains. So whichever you pick, whatever domain your lineage is strong in, you'll write as a D8, and the other three you'll write as D6s.
I think that I'm going to create my own place that I'm from.
Cool.
And it's called Persimmon, with a little accent on it. So it's like persimmon, but Persimmon.
Oh, cool.
They're known especially for athleticism, and they would show up to like the games and put on a good show for everyone. So I think that's just something that they do in that island. It isn't like they're getting ready for war or anything, but it just so happens that they have, you know, very athletic lineage to them.
You could kind of go craft and reason or blood and valor. I a little bit lean towards blood and valor because like races and wrestling, even though it's not, it's also stabbing, but like, I think,
Yeah.
I mean, it's war, right. But like, I feel like that's probably, if we're thinking about like the Greek Olympic Games, right?
Sure.
I think that those would be contests of blood and valor.
Okay. I will definitely go with blood and valor as my main domain then.
Cool.
I think I also want to sort of invent a place. I like the idea of a place that is just kind of based around judgment, essentially. It's like a place where people can come and, you know, if they have some reason for a trial or some sort of difference that they have to resolve, they bring it to the people of this place where they know that there is going to be someone that will give them a fair trial or a fair opinion one way or the other.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, thank you. I've come up with Anlor, A-N-L-O-R.
Cool.
So yeah, he will be the pure-hearted Mykonos of Anlor.
Oh, I dig it. I'm totally seeing people like showing up with their meager belongings on like little boats and stuff and like arriving on Anlor and just being like, please, wise judges of Anlor, restore justice to yada yada, right? Whatever.
Exactly.
Like horrible thing has gone wrong. Yeah.
So with that, I like the idea of arts and oration as the domain.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. I think he's used to being in front of a crowd and kind of presenting these cases. So yeah, I'm going to go with that.
I dig it.
I think that swift-footed Dreos is a scion of Hermes.
Ooh, demigod. Okay, cool.
I mean, for me, no Greek story is complete without someone who is related to the gods there.
Awesome.
Good call.
And so I'm going to go with blood and valor because I think that Dreos has accepted their role in Hermes' lineage, and especially the valor, the idea of getting into combat and helping and just being quick and sure-footed and swift.
Yeah, I dig it. So as a demigod, this part won't change. You'll still choose blood and valor as a D8 and the other as a D6. But when we get into bonds at the end of hero creation, your bonds will be a little bit different. Instead of having as many bonds as the other heroes, you'll have a bond with Papa, with Hermes.
Oh, great.
So, you know, you can ask Hermes to come in and step in for you. All right. Strong-limbed Hathor, where are you going to be from?
I'm going to go with something kind of more nebulous, I feel like. I think Hathor is the scion of the ocean waves.
Cool. What is that?
Well, I imagine that Hathor is of like a group of people that spend a lot of time on the water and feel comfortable in the water. And so I feel like that is anybody who feels more at ease on the water than on land. Like this kind of nebulous collective of people who live for the ocean. They are the ocean waves.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Yeah, because I think that's, you're going to find people like, well, A, you're trapped at sea on islands. So it's not like you're not going to see lots of people on the water.
Yeah.
But B, like this sort of like kinship that you might feel with others from all different places, right? Because they appreciate that sense of being at sea.
Yeah.
As a person who likes to sail and be by the ocean myself, I totally get it. What domain is associated with the ocean waves?
I'm going with craft and reason. I think being like a shipbuilder and things like that is the craft aspect, and like the reason is understanding how to use these things to their full potential, being like an artisan of watercraft.
Yeah, craft and reason is also generally the domain called upon for contests of sailing.
Perfect.
So that's perfect. It's great. Cool. So right, awesome. You'll write down your respective lineages, and then you'll also write down your pronouns to go along with that in the lineage section. So just make sure you introduce your characters with their pronouns as well.
Yeah.
The next step is that you're going to choose an honored god. Dreos, you don't have to choose Hermes. You can be a child of Hermes and honor another one god. That's always gods never get upset when you do that.
Yeah.
They're always very chill. And you're going to write down your honored god's name and then their strength, which if they're one of the 12 Olympians that we have on the hero sheet, you'll just use that strength. If it's another god that you've made up, we'll just pick a strength together. And then you'll make two little diagonal slashes like you see on the instruction sheet to indicate your two marks of divine favor, with that god. So I got to ask, Dreos, who do you honor?
It is going to be Hermes.
Oh, it is. Very cool. Awesome.
I think that there is that sense of finding out who I am and accepting it and leaning into it and like trying to, you know, okay, so if I am from one of these gods, how can I make the most of it? How can I make it beneficial for those around me and helpful? And because the gods aren't always, but if I've got a piece of one of them, maybe I can make it helpful for humanity.
That's a egalitarian perspective. Not a lot of heroes necessarily have. Very cool. Awesome. So you'll write down Hermes, and under strength, you'll write down daring, and you'll put two little slash marks right there. We'll get more divine favor in the boxes over on the right in a little bit, but right now we just do this one, an honored god. All right. Mykonos, who do you honor?
I went with Athena. I think that the thing that I lean into is her wisdom for you know, not just trying cases, but just in any endeavor, like what is the most fair, even, neutral path, you know, that keeps everybody happy. So I think wisdom is a big thing for that. I think that there are a lot of different schools of thought maybe on Anlor about what's the best way to go about it, but I think that's the one that I chose.
I love it. I love it. I also think it's interesting that your perspective is that the fairest choice is the one that will keep people happy. Because my experience is that is 100% not the case.
That's true.
We will see if fairness and wisdom are something that the audience, the recipients of your judgments appreciate. We'll see.
Yeah.
Exciting. Cool. Arcadius?
I'm going to go with Artemis for precision. I think that my character, he may be athletic and everything, but I don't think it's an athleticism of like brawn versus brawn. I think it's he finds the weaknesses.
Sure.
Like he's able to find the precise place to go or the precise place to strike if need be. So I think Artemis brings that precision to him.
Excellent. So write down Artemis as your honored god and precision as her strength and two little check marks. And Aethor.
It's got to be Poseidon.
Yeah, right?
Being an ocean-loving person, Poseidon is my honored god.
Cool.
And Poseidon's strength is fortitude.
Cool. That makes a lot of sense. I dig it. The next thing that you're going to do is what I think is the most important part of the game is record your character's look, their style. This is how would we notice you at a distance? How would we spot you among 100 other Greek soldiers? How do you stand out? Even if it's a subtle thing, what little affectation does the camera always pick up? So on the right-hand column of the hero creation sheet, you'll see a bunch of lists of possible things. You can use any of those. Let's go the other way around. How about Hathor? What's your look if you've got it?
Hathor wears very little. Spending so much time on a ship deck and in the water, Hathor kind of just wears enough to cover the essentials. So like largely bare legs, bare arms, and you can see where there isn't clothing that they're very sinewy, like they're strong. It's clear that they're strong, but there's not a lot of like excess bulk or wasted muscle or anything.
Not a lot of fat on those bones. Yeah.
No, it is clearly like workman's muscle.
Yeah.
They have long dark hair that's like pretty wild, just because it is full of salt water that is dried. So it has just gotten super crazy. It has gotten away from them. And they have these bright blue eyes. And they're very relaxed. They've just got a very relaxed demeanor. They seem like they're happy to do their work or they're happy to talk to somebody. They're content. They're very relaxed and open.
Nice.
And I think that they carry a harpoon, I think, is their preferred weapon. So there is rope kind of spooled around their torso with the harpoon just slotted through the rope across their back.
Oh, super cool. I can just imagine getting lost in those deep blue eyes. Like the ocean. All right. I love it. Arcadius?
Like Hathor, I'm also Hathor. Hathor, sorry. I apologize. I'm also athletic, but not to the sinewy sort of aspect of things, more lithe and graceful and slim. You might say stag-like.
Cool.
I have very piercing, sharp eyes that are gray, almost borderlining on white. His hair is short yet flowy. It's got a nice featheriness to it almost. And he wears minimal armor, probably just like bracers. And maybe a small chest piece or something, and a few bits on his shins, and that's about it. Because he likes to be able to move his legs and his arms and get as much, what I'd like to say, limberness out of himself.
Sure.
And his preferred weapon is a bow.
Artemis couldn't be happier. I dig it.
Yeah.
Cool. How about Mykonos?
I think Mykonos stands out in like a group of all these soldiers because he's clearly not at all a soldier. I think that he has a very gentle demeanor. He's wearing no armor. It's more like more form-fitting robes. Like he's probably used to thicker, flowy cumbersome robes in a courtroom, but being out in the world and practicing this craft elsewhere, he's had to make that a little more tactical, so to speak. He is slender, short, has long hair with braids, like it's all very tight braids down his back, and I think that's probably pretty typical of Anlor.
Does he brush out his hair and rebraid it every day so it keeps all the stray hairs from slipping out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think the most catching thing are his searching eyes. For somebody that's clearly not very intimidating, he's the type of guy that is looking just straight through to the core of who you are. So his dark brown eyes are just trying to gauge every little bit of everyone that he is talking to or encountering. And I think that he also, just in case, he does have a little one-hand hammer. It seems very courtroom to me. So he's got like a, war hammer that's small.
Right. Smaller than a war hammer, bigger than a gavel. I'm about it. And our child of Hermes.
I really like this look aspect that you have in here, the animal aspects.
Yeah.
And so Dreos is serpent-like.
Yeah.
Not in the sense of like a viper and deadly, but just that sense how with snakes, even when they're not moving, there is that potential for movement. Like there is not a moment where a snake is like flat-footed. It's just always ready to go even when it's not moving. But his demeanor is happy. He is always smiling. Also, I think like a lot of the people on this ship, very wiry, smaller, slender frame. With this oiled hair. And I think the thing that really stands out is that he carries around a shield that looks like the helmet of Hermes. So it even has like the little wings on the side, just kind of as an accent. And then his favorite weapon are fists and feet, and then this buckler.
Nice.
Yeah, bucklers are all sorts of good stuff for smacking folks about.
Yes.
Cool. So normally the next thing we would do is go and introduce our characters after we've written all this down. But since we've sort of been talking this through, you've just described your looks, so we already have that. So let's just go ahead and once again say our epithet, our name, and our lineage, and the god that we honor. Oh, you know what? I think I missed this out. I'm sorry. After we wrote down our honored god, you're also going to mark down three checks of divine favor in any of the gods you want. We don't have to share those. You certainly can if you like, but that's just other gods that you've gained favor with through your various deeds of the past, in addition to the god that you honor. So let's everybody go through and say your epithet, your name, your lineage, your pronouns, and who your honored god is. So we all remember who the heroes at the table are. And you'll be saying these things a lot in the game. Hey, Thor, you want to start this round off again?
I am the strong-limbed Hathor, scion of the ocean waves, they, them pronouns, and I honor Poseidon.
I am eagle-eyed Arcadius, scion of Persimmon, honored god Artemis, and I'm using he, him pronouns.
I am pure-hearted Mykonos, scion of Anlor. My honored god is Athena, and use he, him pronouns.
I am swift-footed Dreos, scion of Hermes, he, him, and I honor Hermes.
Okay, fantastic. For all of the mortals, everybody except for Dreos, you're going to write down the names of the other three heroes. Everyone's going to write down the names of the other three heroes, actually. And all the mortals, you'll mark down that you have two bonds with them. Bonds are something you can trade in to get them to get someone to aid you during a contest, to get someone to follow your will, your lead. If they're the leader and you're like, no, leader, let's do this other thing, or to have them protect you from suffering harm. So bonds are very valuable and versatile. So all the mortals will mark that they have two with each other. Dreos, you will only have one with the other mortals, but you will also have one bond with your father, Hermes. Hermes can come to your aid one time.
You know what? I think that's a fair trade.
Yeah? You'll take it?
Yeah, I'll take it.
And these bonds can be gained and lost throughout play as well. You'll be spending them. Okay, the last part of hero creation is to determine leadership for the first island. So we're gonna I'm gonna frame a little scene for you, and this is gonna be sort of our introduction to contests. Normally, when you're on an island, the island is beset with some strife, and that strife is represented by a value that I add to my total. In this case, however, we're on the ship. Lost at sea, and and the and there isn't any strife yet. We definitely are sad to be lost and stuck in the mists, but there's no island strife. So I'll just roll my dice. I'll take my highest value. Then I'll ask each of you, who of you will compete in this contest? And if you want to compete, you will say your epithet if it applies. You'll say your name always, and you'll state your lineage as you pick up the domain die that's appropriate to the contest. I'll tell you what that domain is. So you'll say, I, swift-footed Dreos, son of Hermes, will compete in this contest. And you'll pick up basically two or three of those dice. If swift-footed applies, you'll use that. If it doesn't, you won't. There are other resources you can call upon as well, pathos and divine favor, but we'll save those until we actually get into mid-game. This is just sort of our intro to the contest. And you'll just sort of describe that you're participating. And then we'll narrate how it goes after we make the roll. The other option that you can do is say, I will support so-and-so. If you support someone, you're going to hand them your name die, and then you're going to mark that you get one glory and one bond with that person for supporting them. So you're helping them out, but you're not competing in the contest. You also can not be in a contest, which sometimes happens if like the narrative makes sense that you're just not present. But otherwise, like all heroes are encouraged to either compete or support one another in contests, right? Like unless something is really just, this is a one-on-one contest, like everyone should jump in. So so I'll give you all a contest and then I'll ask you who will compete in it. All right, let's do you have a couple people who are strong in blood and valor. So let's do a blood and valor contest. That makes me happy. I think you're all sitting around on the boat. It's been days, weeks. It's hard to tell. You've been lost at sea. Some of the other sailors start telling war stories, literal war stories. You were just in a war. And they sort of start boasting. I defeated three men with a single blow, and they're telling all these stories. But these are people who are not named heroes such as yourselves. And they're going to look to the person who recalls who can boast and tell them of the greatest act that they performed. And whoever's story is both the most compelling and the most valiant is the one that they will call leader for the next island. So I'm going to roll some dice using roll 20. And then I'll take my highest die. Looks like I've got a 6. There we go. Nice. I'll take that. And normally I would add strife to that. So there would be, I have a higher total. But this is more, less about can you overcome it and more about who gets to be best. Because whoever's best is going to choose the leader. So each of you, the contest is blood and valor. And we're going to flash back to the war. I think this is a time when you're trying to lay siege to the city. And flaming oil was being thrown down upon you. And everyone had their shields held up. But no one could break the gates. So let's recall how you broke the gates or snuck. How you broke the gates or scaled the walls or whatnot. Who will compete in this contest?
I, eagle-eyed Arcadius, scion of Persimmon, will compete.
Nice. Grab all those dice, hold them in your hand, and get ready to roll once everyone else has announced their state. Who else will compete in this contest?
I, swift-footed Dreos, scion of Hermes, will compete.
The strong-limbed Hathor of the ocean wave will compete.
I, pure-hearted Mykonos, will support Dreos in his endeavor.
Ah, very cool. So, Mykonos, go ahead and give Dreos your... go ahead. I said name die earlier. That's when someone calls in a bond. When you offer support, you're going to give your domain dice. Go ahead and give your blood and valor die. I think in your case, it's the same, but just good to know. Give your blood and valor die to Dreos. And then everybody roll those bonds. All right, you're going to take your two highest dice, total those, and that's going to be your total. Did anyone fail to get a 6 or higher?
I just got 6.
You got 6. That's fine. You still met it. Okay. So everyone prevailed. This is natural in the leadership challenges because there's no strife. It'll get harder once we hit the island. But let's go in order of lowest to highest. Everyone who got a 6 or higher, which I think is everybody, will describe how the actions that you take and how you prevail, how you aid your companions in sieging this wall. And whoever got the highest will describe how they finally breached it, how they were the one to make the tipping point. So, Hathor, my guess is you got the lowest. Describe how you prevail.
I found a tree that was close to the walls and essentially muscled up the tree to the point where I could leap to the top of the wall so that I could start engaging the forces guarding from up top to kind of make an opening for the rest of my people.
Nice. I can see you on the wall with your enemies coming at you on both sides. Cool. Who had the next highest result?
I think that's me. I had a 7.
Okay, awesome.
So as this hot oil is being thrown down at us, I'm shooting my arrow and realize that they're throwing it down just in front of the gate. And so using my bow and arrow, I am able to ricochet some of those pots of oil onto the actual gate.
Nice. You hit a pot as it's coming down and it spills out onto the gates. I love it. Cool. Excellent. And so Dreos, I take it you were best?
Yes, I had a 10.
Very cool. Describe how you take the gate.
So I see Arcadius break one of these pots and see the burning oil spill. And it gives me the idea that that's how I can get my men moving. And I throw my shield as one of the pots is raised above the men above us who are throwing it and spill the oil upon them.
Oh, nice.
Giving my soldiers a chance to move forward unencumbered by the burning oil. And then they hack into the door.
Awesome. And I think it's your forces that break it open as the camera sort of zooms out and we see the smoke and pillaring up from it and the armies smashing on the inside. We hear the chants of the soldiers, Dreos, Dreos, as you lead them in. Wonderful. So Mykonos, for supporting, you get 1 glory and 1 bond with Dreos. You would have gotten that bond with Dreos regardless of the outcome. You get it no matter what.
Okay.
Hathor and Arcadius, because you prevailed, you'll get half of my total rounded up. So you're going to get 3 glory each. You have these little check boxes on the top of your sheet. And Dreos, because you were best, you are not only going to get the full bounty, the 6 glory, my total, so you can get 6 glory. But you also get to decide who the leader is.
Oh, okay.
If you elect yourself as leader, that's great. If you elect someone else as leader, they will owe you a bond.
And in the sense of gameplay, what are the benefits of being the leader on an island?
So whenever we come to a contest, I'm going to present you, when you arrive at the island, I'm going to present you with like, here's the situation that immediately presents itself. And it's going to give you a couple options as to how you want to respond to it. You could choose any of those, or you can do something else. You've got a lot of flexibility, but you're sort of presented with an immediate threat. If the group all agrees, yep, let's do that, then great, that's what you'll do. If they don't, then I'm going to turn to the leader and say, leader, which way will you go? What will you do? And the leader will decide. Anyone can spend a bond to sort of take over as leader for a little while, and they can say, you know, no, we have this bond. You owe me. I want to decide in this case. But otherwise, the leader is going to, whenever there's sort of a uncertainty, I'm going to turn to the leader and ask which direction we go.
Okay. I'm going to make the leader pure-hearted Mykonos. I've trusted their judgment in the past and their support throughout some other islands. I'm going to give the leadership to them.
Okay, cool. Mykonos, you're leader. And Dreos, go ahead and mark that you have a bond with Mykonos for giving him this role. I'm sure he's very excited to take.
He's looking absolutely terrified right now.
So we flash back to the ship and the soldiers are like, yeah, Dreos was the greatest of warrior among us, et cetera, et cetera. And that's when you say, yes. And I, as the greatest warrior, I believe we should follow Mykonos. He is the wisest among us.
Who looks up from his book and goes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and suddenly all these sailors are looking expectantly at you, and that's how it is. Very cool. So that's character creation. Next thing we'll do is jump to an island. Many days and nights you were lost at sea. An unnatural mist surrounds you, preventing you from seeing the stars and returning home. You know that as you appease the gods' will, their constellations will once again appear in the sky and help guide you home. That is the thing they hold over you, it's your way home. So with each island, I'm going to give you a little description of the island, and then we're going to receive the signs of the gods. And this is another thing the leader does. The leader interprets the signs of the gods, decides what everything means. Whatever you decide it means is what it means. If you're really not sure, feel free to turn to me as a strife player and be like, does this make sense? And I'm happy to, it's my job to reveal things. So I will be happy to invoke more of the god's will in the signs. But ultimately you decide like, oh, this means we should do this. And then I will give you a what you see immediately when you arrive. And that will, in all the islands we've designed so far, at least, that will sort of lead you right into a contest of what you're going to do to resolve this immediate situation. So here we go. As you sail for days and days, finally the mists part and you see an island ahead. But it is not your home. You have not made it home. You've made it to a foreign land you have not seen before. You have come to Cryos, a cold and rocky isle, fabled for its gold mines. Legend says that the island is protected by a ring of everlasting storm clouds, which keep the land's riches safe from marauders. You receive three signs from the gods. The first is from Hera, the Queen of Heaven. Her sign is the sacred peacock. It lands upon your crow's nest, and it sort of faces off away from the island. It leads the pious to restore what is lost. The second sign, a violent one, is from Zeus, the lord of the sky. His sign is Rune, the works of man brought low. Pillars and stone dash into the sea. Lightning and thunder rumbles from off either side of the island. And the final sign is that from your father, Hermes, the god of thieves. As one of the sailors is carrying a big canvas bag full of canvas sail material, he drops it and it spills. And when it topples open, a raven flies out. As the bag opens wider, you see a bounty of riches. These are spoils of war for those who deserve them. And those are the signs of the gods. Mykonos, do you want to prescribe any meaning to those immediately? Do you want to reassure anyone what the gods are asking for you? Or do you want to mull on that and decide what they mean as you get further along?
I think I do have an idea in my head, but I do want to mull on it just a little longer.
Sure. The sailors, not being bold heroes as yourself, are immediately looking about, distraught. Clearly, the gods have taken notice of your presence, and they don't know how to interpret these portents, right? And they're not sure what to do. Some of them, they spout theories and ideas, but they look to you very clearly, Mykonos in particular, to guide them on this island. When you arrive at the mining settlement on the island, the infamous storm clouds are nowhere to be seen, and all is in turmoil. The people on the island are running about, and they scream, wailing in panic. "It's gone," they cry. "The pirate queen has stolen the Pillar of Storms. We're defenseless. The harpies will slay us." And up in the distance, you see three winged figures making their way down towards the islanders. They're clearly the harpies that they speak of. Two leaders on the island come forth, and they recognize you. "Strong-limbed Hathor, sign of the ocean waves, you have arrived. Eagle-eyed Arcadius, sign of Persimone, thank goodness you are here. Pure-hearted Mykonos, sign of Anlor, your wisdom will guide us. And swift-footed Dreo, sign of Hermes, hopefully you will bring the god's will to us to protect us." The two people are Melitia, the mining chief. She is trying to organize the people to hide in the caves and seek protection from the harpies as they arrive. When they all scream that the Pillar of Storms is gone, she scoffs and says, "I'm glad it's gone. We've been dependent for too long upon the gods to keep us safe. It's time for us to forge our own destiny defend off these creatures on our own." And she looks to you for aid. And similarly, the high priest of Hera, Aenestes, steps forward. He's wearing a garb not dissimilar to yours, Mykonos. He sees you as a fellow scholar and as a person who will hopefully listen to wisdom. And Aenestes says, "Without the blessing of Hera, this island is doomed. She is the only one who has protected us this far." The temple, and he sort of gestures up to the top of the island, up to these rocky cliffs, and you see this old temple of Hera. But even from the distance, you could see it covered in vines. You can see some of the pillars are crumbled and cracked. You can see some of the frescoes are broken or missing. It's obviously been many years since it's been upkept. The temple and its sacred pillar must be restored to show Hera our greatest piety. And so they look to you, both asking you to do different things. Will you turn to Melitia and tell her to use the island's gold to restore the temple and help Aenestes? Or will you turn to Aenestes and tell him to cease his false prophecies and aid the people in protecting themselves from the harpies that are coming? And all of you, of course, are just sort of like swarmed with all of this, right? Like, you arrive and it's like instantly trouble is at your doorstep, right? Like, before you've even stepped off the boat, they're already pleading with you, like, what will you do? And of course, you as heroes can talk amongst yourselves, but these people have this dire urgency looking at you to save them.
So we can discuss this as a group?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Clearly the pillar worked when it was here. Clearly Hera did keep them safe. If it was restored, it would continue to, but I'm not sure it's for us to decide for the entirety of the people which way they should go, if they should make their own fate or stay under her protection. I do believe that they need the help to stay safe from these harpies. I think we should help them at least in that.
Yeah, it's a good point, Mykonos. You can also just be like, forget both of you. I'm not helping INSDs restore the temple. I'm not helping Melitia defend the island. You can also just look right to the people who are at the moment just terrified and try and help calm them so that they can take a more sensible action as well.
I think that's what I'm inclined to do. I think talking is what I do. And the thought of wanting to calm everyone and restore a little bit of order will keep people safe, at least in, you know, the immediate future.
Yeah, where do the other heroes stand? Do you protest? I mean, this is your leader, but you still can certainly protest and make arguments for why you should take another course of action.
The gods have granted protection and the gods have taken it away. Nothing says that building up a temple will even bring back that protection.
I'm inclined to agree.
Does that mean you side with Melitia, who wants to round the people up and get them into the mines?
Yes.
All right.
I, eagle-eyed Arcadius, also agree with Melitia, and I would love to fight some harpies, if you wouldn't mind.
Nice. I like it. Mykonos, all of your fellow heroes have disagree. They all want a different path, but you're the leader. You're going to go with what they want, or are you going to forge ahead on your own and tell them they had better follow? And it's worth note that if Mykonos says, nope, we're going to go talk to the people. We're not going to help Melitia. Any of you can spend a bond and say, Mykonos, for all the times we've spent together, you owe me this, and you can take over as leader for this one contest as well. So, like, if Mykonos makes a decision you don't like, you still have a voice in this. But I turn to you, leader.
I think I'm looking up towards those three flying figures, and I'm looking out over the people panicking, and it's just not the path that I like because it's not the one I'm good at. But I think I sigh and take my warhammer off my belt.
Okay. So if you want to help Melitia and get these people into the caves so that you can fend off the harpies yourselves, the thing you have to do, and this is, you're actually quite good at this, Mykonos, the thing you have to do is get INSEs to stop rallying them up. INSEs is just telling, I mean, that's the problem right now, is that Melitia is telling them one thing, INSEs is telling them another. And until one of these two voices is aligned with the other, or silenced, honestly. But until Ionestes stops his encouraging them to run up to the temple, the people, you know, Melitia just can't get them to safety because they keep hearing these two different authority figures tell them such different things. So Ionestes, when you say this, Ionestes says, do you not see the portents before you? Do you not understand the will of the gods? He feels abandoned by you and continues to try and get all the people to go up to the pillar. So who will challenge Ionestes and get him to cease declaring his false prophecies? Who will engage in this contest? It's a contest of arts and oration to get Ionestes to stop this. And I'm going to roll so you know what you're up against first. So let me roll Ionestes. Arts and oration, and in this case, now that we're on the island, the strife of the harpies coming, of the pillar being lost, of the people divided, I will add the strife to my total. So you'll know. Let's see. Ionestes has a d6 name die, and he has 2d6 in arts and oration. So my total is, I take my highest die, which is 6, and I add the strife, which is 5. So your goal that you're trying to hit right now is 11.
Ooh, boy.
That's Ionestes doing his best.
His besties.
Yeah. All right. So who will challenge Ionestes to this in this contest of arts narration?
I, pure-hearted Mykonos, scion of Anlor, will absolutely challenge.
So pure-hearted, of course, applies, right? You're telling it, you're speaking the truth. I will introduce a few other things you can do now. So you're going to pick up your epithet die, you're going to pick up your name die, you're going to pick up your arts narration die. The other thing you can do is you can spend a bond with any of your other heroes. You can say, I have a bond with you. Help me. They will give you their name die. They can still support. They can also elect to support you and give you the domain die too. They can give you both. But you can spend a bond to call upon a hero to aid you. You can spend a dot of pathos, which is the human will, your personal reserves, to bring in another domain. So you can call upon another domain that you want and bring in that domain die. And you can also erase one of your checks of divine favor. And if you do that, you'll add a d4 to your total.
Oh.
But that d4 gets added to your other two highest dice. So only divine favor gets added on top. Everything else just goes into the pool. So your pathos, your bonds, those can add to your pool, and your divine favor can go on top as the gods give you there, as you spend that favor you have earned with the gods. So grab all the dice you want to use in this case. Obviously, those first three, but any dice you want to get from bonds, from pathos, or divine favor as well. And you'll put all those in your hand before you roll.
And I, eagle-eyed Arcadius, will throw my support behind pure-hearted Mykonos.
Oh, very cool. So go ahead and give Mykonos your arts narration die. And what say the rest of you heroes?
I, swift-footed Dreos, will answer the call.
Very cool. There's 11 glory up at stake right here, right now. How about Hathor?
I, strong-limbed Hathor of the Ocean Wave, will also put my support behind the pure-hearted Mykonos.
Wonderful. Awesome. So go ahead and give that name die to Mykonos. Both Arcadius and Hathor, for support, you're not competing in this contest, but you get one bond with Mykonos that you can write down immediately, and you also get one glory for showing your support. Okay, Mykonos and Dreos?
Even with Dreos competing, essentially, can I still manipulate a way to use a bond from him to aid me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So if someone wants to support you, they're going to give you their domain die. But if you say, I call upon your aid, you can spend that bond that you've earned to get their name die. And yes, even if they're competing against you, they will still aid you, and they can describe how they aid you, or you can ask them in a particular way to help you. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, I have something in mind for that, and I think I am going to use the pathos as well.
Oh, cool. So you're going to bring another domain. Anyone spending divine favor out of curiosity?
I am going to spend divine favor with Demeter.
Demeter's integrity. All right, so once you've got all your dice pooled, anything you got from bonds, from divine favor, from pathos, your epithet, your name, your domain, roll them all. Take your highest two. If you add a divine favor, you'll add that to the top, on top. I see shaking of heads.
How many dice was that, Tass?
7 dice. My total is a 10.
Oh, noes. How about Dreos?
13.
Oh, my God.
A 6, a 5, and a 2 on the d4.
Nice. All right. Just so you know, this is a game of very irrevocable consequences. If you had both failed at the roll, there would have been chaos and the harpies would have arrived before anyone was prepared, right? Like, that's just the thing that happens. But one of you prevailed. So as a whole, you'll prevail. So starting with the lowest, describe, if you didn't meet the challenge, describe how you suffer, how the priest's words affect you, how you are unable to persuade them. And for those who prevailed, describe how you overcome priests. So, Mykonos, you've got the lowest total right now?
Yeah, I think that the signs start flashing through my head, and what I think that they meant start to kind of twist, and I'm starting to doubt what I saw as he's talking, because I realize that he's right. When that was there was protection, and there is that possibility that could help. So I'm just doubting myself now.
Nice. All, and so many gods gave you so many different signs. So do you even speak to him, or do you falter before you even try and match him on the soapbox, as it were?
I think I do try to talk to him.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I start to verbalize is, we saw the peacock. We saw Hera's sign, and it was facing away from your island. I think she's done.
Yeah.
And just something about that just doesn't feel right. Like there's a feeling of maybe I'm doubting the reason for her facing away. Maybe she's pointing us a direction to go to help or, you know, other things. But
yeah,
whatever that is gets muddy.
Yeah, I think clearly the weight of the words of somebody who is so, their faith is so clear to them is, it's persuasive.
Yeah.
Mykonos, you get one glory for competing in this trial, though you suffered. Adraeus, tell me how you prevail.
So I think as the priest gets to kind of the highest pitch of his rant, saying that we have to praise the gods, I step forward and say, yes, we must praise the gods. But now all of you listen to me, son of one of the gods. There is a line that you cross when you go from praising them to hiding under a rock and wanting them to do everything for you. The gods give their favors to those who have earned them. Today, we earn them! And it gets all the people excited and makes them realize that they must take action to protect themselves because the gods are not there every second.
Yeah.
And he gets shouted down by the group.
Nice. I think he, assuming you don't try and stop him from doing this, I think Aenestes, it's just crestfallen when he sees an actual sign of a god come and speak against him. You know, he's like, what am I going to say? I'm just a priest, right? And despite the danger, you know, he stops trying to get the people to edify the temple, but he returns there himself. He's just broken. And, you know, he's going to go alone, maybe with an attendant or two. But without his disruption, Melitea is able to corral the people into the caves, or into the mines, rather, where it'll be very difficult for the harpies to get to them.
And I think that as he turns to walk away, I say to him, go then, be with your God. But remember, you must take action yourself. And if we are both still standing at the end of this, we'll realize there's a middle ground.
We see that kind of like shot where he's already a few steps up the hill when you start speaking to him, and he turns, looks over his shoulder and listens to you. And like, again, it's clear that your weight has like gravitas, and he's going to go mull on it, right? Like whatever you've said is, he's got to go to his thinking place, right? You know, and he goes off, but he's clearly heard everything you've said.
Yeah.
Mykonos, Dreos has been speaking the loudest and the clearest, but Melitea looks to you and says, these harpies have harried sailors for centuries. And if not for the pillar, they would have killed everyone on the island as well. Will you help me destroy these horrible monsters so that they never again threaten my island?
It would be our pleasure.
So Melitea looks to you, Mykonos, and for the first time she has hope in her eyes, and she finally feels that the horrible fate that the island has been stuck with for as long as she's been alive has been lifted, that there's a chance of change. And she looks really hopeful, and suddenly her eyes just go wide as you see the shadow of the harpies descend over her.
Far back in the mists of antiquity, a poet sings of great deeds wrought by mighty heroes, of monsters slain and justice restored, of wise counsel and devious strategies, of courage, valor, and daring, defiant of the gods themselves. In Agon, you create and play these heroes, crafting their epic tale into an immortal legend. Lost at sea, you will venture to islands populated by mythical creatures, dire beasts, treacherous landscapes, legendary kingdoms, and desperate people, all somehow cursed or abandoned by the cruel power of the capricious gods. You can find Agon on Kickstarter through the web address in our show notes until October 25th, or learn more at evilhat.com.